Oh man, I'm actually overwhelmed by worship this morning. I love talking about who God is. And I love telling him who he is, and I love worshiping him for what he has done. So I'm gonna reference that video here in just a minute, but I'm still like in that moment. wow. Awesome. Let's pray together. Jesus, as we come into your house today, and we worship you, and we get access to the Father through you, Jesus, we pray that your Holy Spirit would give us truth today, that you would speak to us, that you would, in your kindness, in your mercy, in your revelation, challenge our thinking so that we can know what it means to live a life of gratitude, a framework of gratitude. We're grateful for you, and God, we ask that your truth would be resident in this place today. In Jesus' name, amen. So that video is actually, there's an old Hollywood term, and I plan to start there, but man, I was just so taken by worship. I'm bringing you into the moment with me now. So that was an old Hollywood term. They would call that hair in the gate, all right? That's what that used to be called, hair in the gate. And it's not an actual hair in the gate, but I'm going to just take a moment and tell you what the gate is, because behind in a Hollywood film camera, behind the lens and behind the shutter, there would be a gate, and the gate would be where the film would pass through, and it would get exposed to light and capture the images, all right? But what would happen in the gate is sometimes the film, the celluloid, would go, and there would be shavings of celluloid that would shave off and would cause those little things that we saw, hair in the gate is what they would call it. And there's actually one of the most famous Hair in the Gate episodes is from a little movie called Sound of Music. And if you don't know this, there's this great scene where she's at the top of the mountain and there's hair in the gate. Now, there's no way to physically remove that. Now it can be done digitally. But before, if they got hair in the gate and they said, that's a wrap, let's move on, and they went back and edited the film later, the director most likely lost his mind at that point. Because he was like, the film is ruined, there was hair in the gate. So it actually brought up a phrase in Hollywood, which was check the gate. So they would complete a shot, and before the director would say, that's a wrap, let's go to the next set, they would say, hold on, check the gate. And the DP would open up the gate, move the lens, check the gate, and go, there's no hair in the gate, gate's good. And they'd go, great, that's a wrap, let's move on. Because if there was hair in the gate, they had to reset and do the shot all over again. All right, kind of an interesting little thing. And so it's one of those things. It's one of those things in Hollywood that you'll ran now that they do a lot of digital filming, you don't actually hear it as often, but it's one of those things where it's kind of one of those phrases that exists when there's an issue, we got to check the gate. Check the gate. And so we're going to be talking about that a little bit today. We're going to be talking about the idea of checking the gate. And if you have your Bibles with you, I encourage you, go ahead and turn to Psalm 18. And while you're doing that, I just want to say, if you are here today, and you are a guest, we're grateful that you're here. We're going to be talking about checking your gate and minding your frame. All right, that's the title of today's sermon, is Mind Your Frame. And if you're watching us online, I welcome you too. My name's Dallas. Welcome to Navigation. Glad you can be joining us online. We'd love to see you here sometime with us live in person. But we are going to kind of stay on this Hollywood theme a little bit, because within our series on gratitude, a matter of perspective, we want to be sure to check the gate. We want to be sure to mind our frame in our lives. So whatever is coming into our frame, we have to be mindful of it. So I'm going to start today with reading from Psalm 18, and we're just going to read the first six verses, Psalm 18, 1 through 6, all right? So it starts out, King David says, I love you, Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call to the Lord, who is worthy of praise, and I have been saved from my enemies. The cords of death entangled me, verse 4 says. The torrents of destruction overwhelmed me. The cords of the grave coiled around me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called to the Lord. I cried to my God for help. From his temple, he heard my voice. My cry came before him into his ears. So then it goes on through the rest of Psalm 18, and I'm going to go ahead and give you your assignment right now. Don't read ahead now, but this week I want you to read through Psalm 18, okay? That's going to be kind of your assignment coming out of here, your homework. But in this passage, when we look at this, the cords of the grave entangled me, the cords of death, destruction was all around, my enemies rose up before me. How many can agree David was going through some stuff, there was a couple of bad days. There were some circumstances that were going on within the framework of his life, all right? But the question I have is, how was he framing those circumstances? How was he framing those circumstances? So the thing, again, the other idea with Hollywood here, we're talking about that hair in the gate, minding our frame. But let me say it to you like this. There's another phrase in Hollywood: nothing exists outside of the frame, okay? Nothing exists outside of the frame. So the idea, everybody take your two hands and you're gonna make L's with your index finger and your thumbs, okay? Those of you at home do this as well. It's a lot of fun from your couch or your kitchen table, wherever you're having coffee. All right, so now what you're gonna do is you're gonna take this one, you're gonna switch it, and you're gonna put them together, all right? Just like that, pretty close. Some of you are doing really well. Now try this. I'm just kidding. So what you're gonna do is you're gonna take your left hand, point it down, pin them together. Right hand on top, left hand on the bottom. There you go, now some of you look a lot more coordinated. All right, so now what I want you to do is just take it, and you're gonna close one eye, and you're gonna go around, and you're gonna look within your frame. Don't look on the stuff outside of your thumbs. Look only in the frame, all right? Perfect, you guys are doing great. There's gonna be a lot of back and forth like this today, so I hope you're looking forward to it. You're like, great, activities at church, awesome. Next week I'll be Crayola. So, the same goes here. Here in the camera, I'm going to show you two images here. The first one is it's a camera set up for a rose and like a wine and table dinner thing. So we can go ahead and show that image on there. So what you can see is there's a lot of stuff that's happening on the set. All right, there's lighting kits over to the side. There's a whole white background. There's a whole stem of a rose. But if you focus in on what the camera is seeing, that's the only thing that matters. All right. Only thing that matters in film is what's going on inside the frame. So like where the camera is here, for those of you watching, you may be aware of it, but as far as you're concerned, the keyboard's not there. It's outside the frame. I'm the only thing, this podium, this, a little bit of this background, that's all that's in the frame, that's all that exists in a Hollywood world when they say, don't worry about, so extras, when they would get higher on set, they would always kind of check, and they're told, hey, you're gonna walk back and forth. The extras would always be like looking for the camera so that they could be in frame. Because they knew if they were walking, keep the camera right here for me. Check out the screen. An extra knew that if they were out here doing something, they were not gonna get paid any residuals. Because nothing exists outside the frame. So when we look at this idea, and let's show one more image here again, it's this person here. There's a whole scope of things that this mountain scene, all right? But when the director is looking at the story they want to tell, all of the other stuff doesn't matter. It's about that little house on the seaside nestled up against the mountains. That's the story we want to tell. So in your life, things come into your frame. And the question is not what the situations and the circumstances are. The question is, how are you framing your world? Because the frame is important. How are you framing your world? So King David here in Psalm 18 was saying, the cords of death are entangling me. This is happening. This is the situation. But he had a frame that we're going to explore a little bit. See, so many of us, there are so many ways that we can frame our world. And I'm just going to say a couple of them. Maybe you can think of a few others. But how many believe that a lot of people look at our world through a political frame? Right wing, left wing, that's it. Political frame. I see everything through the framework of my politics. And so they get angry if something exists outside of their frame because the only way they know how to do it is in their politics. Sorry, I'm not going to stay on that one for too long. The other one, though, that we do is sometimes we frame our world through religious tradition. Whoa, sorry, church, gotta say it. Sometimes it's not a framework of godliness, not a biblical worldview. Sometimes it's merely a religious traditional worldview. And so then we're decried as fundamentalists because a fundamentalist can only accept something if it sits in their worldview rather than question, well, what if this is a different frame? So we have to be careful. What about racial frames? That's a huge conversation in our society. Economic frames. I only view myself as poor. Then that's all you're ever gonna see. I only view myself as through my health frame. Dallas has been diagnosed with major depression and severe anxiety disorder. Those of you who know me or have listened to my podcast, you're very aware of my story. But does that mean I view my whole world through the framework of depression and anxiety? And I go into every restaurant, oh, I'm anxious. Oh, I go into every situation, every bad day, and I go, well, it's because I'm depressed. Or, well, what if it's, well, I have cancer, and that's my framework. Well, I'm poor, and that's my framework. Well, I was abused when I was a child, and even though I'm 50 now, I only view the world as a victim. Please understand me. I am not being cruel to your situation. I'm asking you to challenge yourself. I hate that you were a victim. I hate your economic situation for you. I despise the fact that you feel as though you've gotten the short end of the stick. I empathize with you totally on that. And so does God. But God is good enough that he's saying, I don't want that. I don't want your victimhood to be your frame. Okay? And if you're feeling personally attacked right now, I'm just going to ask you, mind your frame. Okay? As gently and as lovingly as I can, how do you mind the frame? All right? So there are two keys to setting our frame. Two keys. Usually I do two like this. Today, two is like this. There are two keys to setting our frame, and we actually find within the context of Psalm 18, we see both keys to setting the frame, all right? So Psalm 18, 1 through 6, I'm just going to read the first three verses, actually. It says, I love you, Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress and my deliverer. My God is my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I called to the Lord, who is worthy of praise, and I have been saved from my enemy. So everybody take your right hand. The first key to determining our frame and setting our frame is this: who God is. That's the first key. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my refuge, my shield, my horn of salvation, my stronghold. I called to the Lord, who is worthy of praise. He is our salvation, saving us from our enemies. So in our moment, you don't have to keep your hands up now if you don't want to. In this moment, when we are setting our frame, the first thing we have to do is set God first in his rightful place in our lives. You've heard this said before, when God is small, problems are big. But when God is big, problems seem small in our lives. And so we have to know who he is. Just really quickly, shout out another attribute of God. I know Psalm 18 gives us some, but rock, salvation, strength. What's some others? Healer. Kindness. Deliverer. Provider. Holy. Creator of the universe. Awesome God. Unapproachable in light. Whoa. The king of creation who saw fit to love us. When God is in his rightful place, I begin to properly set my frame. So what's the second key? What's this other part of setting our frame? Let's read on. I'm actually going to drop down in Psalm 18 a little bit to verses 16 through 19. He, God, reached down from on high and took hold of me. He drew me out of deep waters. He rescued me from my powerful enemy, from my foes who were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my disaster, but the Lord was my support. He brought me out into a spacious place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. Okay, frame number one, who God is. Frame number two, what God has done for us. Who God is and what God has done for us. Everybody put your hands up again and say, who God is, what God has done for us. Now take a look around. Look at this community. Look at these people. This, if you can't find a miracle in your own life, set your frame. Look around the room. See, the awesome thing about being in community is that I can rely on other people's miracles. When I'm not feeling it for myself, I can go into the house of the Lord and see others that say, hey, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Because I can hear the miracles that are happening in Dave's life, in Tony's life, in whoever's life it might be. So even if you're at the point right now, you're like, well, God, you haven't really come through in this area for me. Okay, you haven't come through in my finances. You still haven't answered that health question. I believe you are the healer, but you haven't answered that health question, so I can't quite link up the frame. You haven't quite answered that relationship need that I desire, that health situation, that work problem I'm having. All of this stuff is going on down here, and you just aren't properly framing it. But what is the one thing that you can do to say, okay, God, you haven't answered here, but you've provided me with this. But you've provided us with a home. But you've provided me with a job. But you've provided my children with health, even if I don't feel health. Whatever it may be. So Tony said this earlier at the end of worship. It's something that my mother used to say years ago. At the lowest point of who we are should be worship. Let me say it to you in a different way. No matter the circumstances, your frame should be gratitude of who God is and what God has done for us. So just take a moment right now. I'm going to give you a moment to prayerfully consider one thing that God has done for you. Just take a moment right now and say, God, thank you for this. Okay. Thank you, God, for what you're doing in my children, in my wife. Thank you, God, for even the capacity of my mind. That's something I thank God regularly for. I remember stuff I've no business remembering from when I was 4 years old. Should have forgotten it, but I can call it up like that. I remember things I read almost didactically. It's crazy. And so I'm constantly thanking God for my mind. What about you? Where are those places that you're thanking God so that you can properly frame your world? Because here's the truth. When the frame is properly set, these two things, who God is and what God has done for me or for us, what God has done for us, they create a framework of gratitude in spite of your circumstances. So we see from David here in Psalm 18, we see this idea of God, the cords of death entangled me. God, my enemies rose up against me. They were about to overtake me, but you reached down and you rescued me. You, my strength, my high tower, you saved me. So even though what I'm seeing is really bad circumstances, my framework is gratitude and worship. Woo! So, there are three ways to mind our frame, okay? We know what the two elements of our frame are. What are they again? Say them out loud. Who God is, and number two, what God has done. So now, in order to keep these in place, we have to mind our frame, all right? We have to continually mind it so that we can be like, oh, this circumstance is happening and I'm not really appreciative of it. Oh, that's because I'm weak and spineless and I always fail at these things. You didn't mind your frame. And you lost your framework. And now the circumstances of that completely overwhelmed you because you didn't put it into the right place. So there are three ways to mind our frame, and we're going to pull from the life of David here, and we're going to look at one really great way that he was able to mind his frame, and then we're going to look at two ways that he didn't mind his frame oh so well, okay? But there are three ways to mind our frame. The first way is to check our focus, all right? I said this earlier. When troubles are big, most likely God is small. When God is big, most likely troubles are small. So when we look at one particular element of David's life where I think his frame was spot on is when he faced Goliath as a young man. So he saw this huge giant in front of him who was defying the armies of God, who was saying, we're going to kill you, send out a champion to fight us, and all the rest of the army was looking at their circumstance through the wrong framework. They had forgotten who God was and what he had done for them. But along comes a young man who sees this giant. He's like, how dare this Philistine defy the armies of the living God? Who's going to take him on? And they're like, nobody. We're hoping that he gets tired and goes home. David comes in and says, oh, I've been worshiping out in the field. And I've seen what God has done for me because he delivered me from a bear. He delivered me from a lion. He's given me the talent just in this slingshot. And he said, that giant, although it looks big to you because your frame is overwhelmed, I've been minding my frame in worship and gratitude and remembering how big my God is. So that giant is small. And so he was able to step into a circumstance that he had no business being in because he had the right frame of mind, and he was able to take down the giants. Let me ask you this. Where in your life are the giants overwhelming you? Where do you see opposition when you should be seeing opportunity? Obstacles, adversary, instead of an opportunity to be an overcomer. I would like to suggest to you, mind your frame. Look at your neighbor real fast and say, mind your frame. All right, now look at him and preach it to him. Mind your frame. Matter of fact, I think over the next 2 points, I'm going to say, let's practice it. I'm going to say, okay, I encourage you. Great, let's practice it one more time. Hey, Hollywood, take two, okay? Here we go. Ready? I encourage you. That's it. Perfect. So number one there is to check our focus. The second way to mind our frame is to check for hair in the gate. All right? Just like that video we showed at the very beginning, we want to check for hair in the gate. What's shaving off that's causing a little bit of problem in our visibility? Well, let's use another story of David and Bathsheba. All right? David was not properly minding his frame when he's walking out on the rooftop and he looks across the way and he sees a woman bathing herself and he's like, that's good looking. The moment he did that, he was allowing shavings to come off. But here's what's crazy about it. I don't think that was a single circumstance. Really don't. I think David had an issue probably. All right? So that, what had happened was little shavings of thoughts stayed in his frame. He had a thought that became an imagination that became a stronghold. All right? That's why the Bible is constantly telling us, take every thought captive. It's another one I got from my mother. I'm giving you credit. Thought becomes an imagination. A thought's a thought. A thought's a thought. Thought's a thought. I thought a thought, and I was like, there's a thought. All right? But if I grab a hold of that thought, and I begin to go, oh, what would happen if I were to indulge myself? And then I begin an imagination. And then all of a sudden an imagination becomes a temptation, and a temptation then becomes a stronghold until I finally willfully give over to it because I didn't cut it off at the thought. I didn't say, there's a cloud, go by, bye, cloud. So we have to be very careful of our thoughts. So same thing in the hair in the gate. David was letting some of those slivers stay in his thoughts. He was letting some of those things linger in the gates too long, some desires that were too wrong, some imaginations that were too strong is what he was letting happen there. Let me ask you a question. Where are you allowing thoughts that shouldn't be there to linger? I'm not even talking about Bathsheba thoughts, okay? Let me let you off the hook there. If that's a little too close to home or you're feeling like, I don't want to entertain that idea, Dallas. What about thoughts about your finances? What about the thought about how you kind of hate your boss? What about the thought that our political situation is unfixable? Where are the places? What about the thought of the other? Oh, the other tribe over there that disagree with me. What about the thought that people are unworthy of love? Little thoughts. It could be anything. What about the thought that your spouse is really annoying? Don't laugh that hard. No, here's the thing. You want to know how divorce happens? There was a thought. There was a thought that said, my spouse is really annoying. Every time she says this, I get mad. Well, guess what? She's probably going to say that sentence again. Do the dishes. So every time she says that, I get mad, I get frustrated, I get worked up. Now, oh, well, she just thinks everything's wrong with me. Well, I think everything's wrong with her. Thought becomes an imagination. I didn't check the hair in the gate. Eventually, my wife is totally unlovable. Really? Yeah. From disagreeing about finances or disagreeing? I mean, go to war with her and be like, hey, I'm having this thought about you. And let her tell her side of the story. I can tell that this is resonating really well with everybody in the room. But the thing is, it doesn't matter what the situation, you got to mind the thought so you don't get hair in the gate. Those little things that linger and get in your focus, all right? So when it comes to checking for hair in the gate, I encourage you. Oh, man. I know. Let's try it one more time. When it comes to checking for hair in the gate, I encourage you. Mind your frame. All right, so the third way to mind our frame so that we don't lose that focus is one, check your focus. Two, check for hair in the gate. Three, check our exposure. All right? Now, you can be overexposed or you can be underexposed. Too much light, too little light. You don't want shadows to lurk. All right? So with hair in the gate, we were talking about David and Bathsheba and the thoughts that he had. With checking our exposure, there was another time in David's life where his son Absalom sat down at the city gate and started talking smack about David, telling everybody who was coming in and out, David's this, David's that. He was doing all these activities to turn people away from David, all right? But what David did was inaction. He allowed all of these shadows and these things to lurk and creep about him, and instead of going to Absalom and fixing it and taking action there, he allowed those things to happen because he was in inaction, all right? And he became, because of that, David became overexposed. Does that make sense? And a whole rebel army rose up against him. A whole rebellion happened because David was in action when it was a small thing. So when we check our exposure, if hair in the gate is thoughts, then checking our exposure is what actions do we need to be doing? Where do we need to bring the shutter in? Where do we need to bring more light in, maybe, perhaps? What are the actions that we're doing, the small little things that we're allowing to become big things? The small action that becomes a big habit that becomes a destructive lifestyle. All right, it always leads to the same place, whether it's a thought, imagination, a stronghold, or a small action to a habit to a destructive lifestyle. It all goes to the same thing. You become overexposed and you lose focus on what your frame is. You begin to think, oh, well, I've been overexposed. Well, no, you haven't been overexposed. You've just forgotten who God is, what he's done for you, and the action you need to take in this place. Does that make sense? So we have to be careful of the thoughts. We have to be careful of the actions. And I want to ask you a question. What unhealthy activities are you allowing in your life? What unhealthy, non-spiritual, destructive, potentially, actions are you allowing in your life? You're going to get a great opportunity, by the way, at NAV Groups this week to discuss all of this stuff. I mean, you know, within reason. But if we're allowing, if our focus isn't right, we don't see who God is, what God has done for us, we can't take down the giants. If we don't then check for hair in the gate to make sure that our mindset is staying clean from all of the thoughts, the little shaves, the little slivers of bad ideas that happen. And then if we don't actually check our exposure and we're allowing secret activities, secret things to grow in our world, then what we're going to do is we're going to lose our frame. So no matter what, I encourage you. We're getting better every time. I'm ashamed that that's my third and final point because that was your last chance at it. You want to take it one more time? Let's try it one more time. I encourage you. So that's the final question I have for you today. How will you mind your frame? Let's get very practical. This week, how will you mind your frame? Well, you have to become aware, right? What are the two elements? Who God is, what God has done for me. So how will you mind your frame this week when that situation happens at work? When that argument happens in the home? When your children won't go brush their teeth after the fourth time you've told them? Well, shoot, I should have been talking about my kids the whole time. I got way more response on that. How will you mind your frame when that bill comes in that you're concerned about? When that diagnosis comes that you've been anxious about? How will you mind your frame? It's very important for us to focus on this week. So what I would like to ask you to do is, and again, you're getting an assignment today. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but I kind of want to ask for a show of hands. Who would be willing to read Psalm 18 for me this week? Some of you are raising your hands. You're awesome. I didn't ask for it, but I appreciate it. I want you to read Psalm 18 this week and look at how David goes back and forth between who God is and what God has done for him in spite of all the circumstances that he lists. It's incredible how he just bounces back and forth between those two parts, who you are, what you've done for me, who you are, what you've done for me. It doesn't matter what this circumstance is because I know that you're going to bring me into a spacious place because you delight in me. That you're going to bring me health because you delight in me, God. Because it's who you are. You are the mighty, awesome deliverer, the Holy One of Israel. So your assignment this week is to simply look through Psalm 18, and I want you to focus on these two things while you do it. Hold them up for me one more time. Say, who God is, what God has done for me. One more time. I encourage you. Good job. All right, let's pray together. Jesus, we thank you for this. We know it was a little bit of a Sunday school lesson. But God, it's so important because we need to master the basics of our faith. And knowing who you are and embracing the power of you is so important. So Lord, we ask that as we go through this week that your spirit would make us super aware of our frame. That we wouldn't have a framework of other worldviews, that we wouldn't have a framework of our circumstances, but God, the circumstances would merely exist inside a framework of gratitude, inside a framework of worship, and that we would be able to challenge each other, even in our own homes this week, when something occurs, we'd be able to say, mind your frame. We ask God for your awareness to come, in Jesus' name, amen. I want to, I would like to take one other moment here too. If you're here with us as a guest or you're watching us online, the ultimate way to initialize this frame, if you don't know, is to come to know a man named Jesus and what he's done for you. And we never want to end a service without an opportunity for you to respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the gospel is, when we talk about who he is and what he's done for us, we talk about the fact that our circumstances are that we were sinners, we were broken, we were disconnected from the Father. But the Holy One, Jesus, fully God and fully man, came to earth and sacrificed himself. That's who he is. And what he's done for us is he sacrificed himself so that we could be reconciled by his cross to relationship with the Father. And so that our framework could be one of eternal love, eternal salvation, and a focus of gratitude on God. So if you don't know Jesus today, I want to give you an opportunity to respond to that same at home. But in order to make this as comfortable as possible, I'm just going to ask everybody in the room here, please close your eyes, bow your heads. No one's looking around. And if you're just feeling that tug on your heart where you say, Jesus, I do want to know you. I want to accept you as Savior. I want to accept you as the one who sets my frame. If you wouldn't mind, I would just ask you to raise your hand so I can see it, so that I can acknowledge, amen, I see those hands. Amen. Amen. And for you at home, you'll see a button come up too if you'd like to make that commitment to Jesus today as well. But I'd like all of us to just pray this prayer together. All right? Say, Dear Jesus, I recognize my failing. I recognize that I am a sinner. And I recognize who you are and what you've done for me. So today I ask that you would forgive me, and I ask that you would save me. Be Lord of my life, Savior of my heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you said that prayer for the first time, let's give a, yeah, come on. That's awesome. We had several people. Your frame has been set, my friends. And so this week, you're going to begin to look at things in a new way as Jesus the Savior begins to refocus your life toward his worldview. Amen. I'm going to ask Pastor Brent to go ahead and come at this time to close out our service. But just remember one more time, may I suggest to you, have a great week, everybody. Pastor Brent.
Amen. Thank you.